You can turn to Jeremiah chapter 9, and I've been running all over the place with it in different places and verses. I really appreciate the good preaching, boy. It's been good, isn't it? It's been real good preaching. Jeremiah chapter 9, we'll read those verses 23 and 24, and then I want to put with it verse 6, Jeremiah 9, 6. And then I'm going to go preach some in another place and then come back to that, all right? Let's read. Let's all honor as we've been doing the Word of God, all right? Let's stand, we would. You're up and down, ain't you? How'd you like that song leading? I enjoyed it, bro. That's old camp meeting leading there, buddy. Yeah. It's old time getting there going. Now, remind me of the Lindsay family when they first began over there, Brother Bob, when we began over there, Brother Raines. You remember all them kids? They were little, them Lindsays. They were real little. And they sung that song, "There is a God." Do you remember? "There is a God. There is a God." Man, it was unbelievable what would go on in there. And they sung it in that manner too, you know. And I remember that, you know. Little Lindsay's a great man, you know. Appreciated him. And his children, you know. I mean, Noah's children, Brother Caleb. He's got some great kids. Amen. All right, let me read and then we'll pray and you be seated. "Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this." And here's what we've all been thinking and Brother John's been saying, "that he understandeth and knoweth me." And I believe the emphasis is on knowing God. "That I am the Lord which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness." Well, you can search through the Bible a lot of times on trios, threes. It's a good study, you know, where God puts three things together. And anyway, let's go on. "In the earth, for in these things I delight, saith the Lord." Okay, chapter 9, verse 6. "Thine habitation is in the midst of deceit. Through deceit," now look here, "they refuse to know me." Through deceit, they refuse to know me, saith the Lord. God help us tonight, and I thank you, Lord, to give me the privilege to be here in this meeting, and then these men that you let me stand before. And I thank you for your presence and the help in my heart and the work that you've done in these last months or so, and the things that's taken place. And Lord, I do pray for Brother Morris' dad and how he blessed my heart last year when he preached and when he touched his heart and touched mine. Thank you, God, for these other men that have preached today and each one that gave us a message to hear. And Lord, we ask that you might help us to exercise that in our life and that we might go about the work and do it. Thank you for your help in this church and working with Brother John. Thank you for giving him this people. And Lord, I pray that they would understand he's a gift of God to them. And they would take him in and let him and lead him, let him lead them. And God bring this church to a place that it once had. It said this, I've heard of the days that was used to be full. And they used to have a work that God would do. And Lord, the devil in the world and the flesh is absolutely destroying us and dividing us, and many are dying. But Lord, would you not revive us again? Would you not restore us that transgressors might know thy ways, Lord, and we could teach them, and then that sinners could be converted? Restore unto us the joy of our salvation. Have your way tonight, and would you increase your strength in our lives this week? As we got another day, God, would you not cause it to be stronger, and when we leave, that we'll have a little strength in our life and we'll be able to go out and face another day. I'll praise you for what you'll do tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. You be seated. I want to go to Hosea and preach from there and come back to this last verse that I read. Would you go to Hosea, please? Chapter 6. Hosea 6. Verse 1 says, "Come and let us return unto the Lord, For he hath torn and he will heal us. He hath smitten and he will bind us up. After 2 days will he revive us. In the third day he will raise up us, and we shall live in his sight. Then shall we know, if we follow on to know the Lord. His going forth is prepared as the morning, and he shall come unto us as the rain, as the latter and the former rain unto the earth. I want to preach on going on to know the Lord. To follow on to know the Lord. You turn back to the verses that he uses and you see, he talks about the wisdom of man. He said, don't glory in your wisdom. And that's men's mind, their intellect. They're glorying in their intellect. They're glorying in their intelligence. And that is not going to get the job done. I don't care how smart you are. The work of God is by the Holy Ghost. And he takes his word and works in a person's heart through his word. Not through our explanations of it. There's a lot of times that we should expound the word of God. Jesus expounded. When he was on the road to Emmaus and those two that was with him, he said he expounded unto them the prophets and the Psalms. He took the word of God, Jesus did, and expounded unto those on the road to Emmaus. Well, we need somebody to help us in our discouragement. Well, Jesus, couldn't you just come in and psychoanalyze us and just give us what exactly is going on in our mind and tell us all these things that are taking place? He expounded unto them the scriptures, the power of the word of God, the power of the word of God. I mean, when you get in trouble and you get discouraged, I don't care how many tapes you throw in, and I don't know how many doctors you call, and I don't care how many psychiatrists you call, take the word of God, set it down, and read it. I don't care if it says, husbands, love your wives, children, obey your parents. There's power in that. There's power in that. I want something to do all the time. I want something to do. Why don't you just obey the simplicity of the scriptures? It's not real hard. It's very simple. That's why I tell my grandkids, you know what part of that you don't understand? It's just as simple as it can be. It's just like we talk about a virgin. Talk about that this morning. 1 Corinthians 7. That ain't hard to understand. That ain't hard. It's hard for us to do it. That's the problem, you know. In a society that's got its mind all messed up. And so the mind, the intellect. Don't man glory in his intellect. It's unbelievable. I mean, their intelligence. You know, they're very smart. And I try to be real kind right here. And I don't really. I ain't real kind right here. I'm not really, man. They're a bunch of educated idiots, you ask me, buddy. I'm telling you. I've never seen such a termite in a yo-yo. They're supposed to be smart people, you know. The smartest man I ever met was the man that told me about Jesus, amen. The smartest man I ever met is some old believer that believed in that book. My daddy didn't have to be educated to be a smart man. He was as wise as they could be. He didn't have an 8th grade education, but he could read that Bible, buddy. And he'd get in the kitchen walking up and forth going, whoo, whoo, in the kitchen. Mama would be laying in the bed and daddy would say, listen, Jesse. And he'd be, I'm listening, Pat. She's trying to go to sleep. My daddy's in the kitchen with the Bible walking back and forth, reading the Word of God, going, whoo, whoo, listen, Jesse. And he didn't have no commentary. He didn't have no cell phone. He didn't have nobody to talk to. He had the book, buddy. He had the Word of God. Amen. That's what he had. And he was a King James man, too. Amen. When the wars got on between the Southern Baptists and all the means of the inspiration of the Scriptures, and when they started putting that word, when they started changing the quarterly and putting the new versions in there, my daddy said, no. He said, no. He didn't just say, I'm not. He said, no. Very emphatic. No. What part of no don't you understand, son? That's what he'd say. Hey, I said, no, you know. No, you know, I ain't had no part of it. Amen. I've become an independent Baptist, you know. Premillennial. You ought to take the wars of the premillennial doctrine. Well, I'll tell you what. The independents are dividing too. Don't need to get all over the Southern Baptist.
We're just about as bad. You know, we're fighting now. Well, that ain't the message. Let me get away from that. That ain't the message. Amen. You know, that's what causes such a bad camp meeting. We're getting the fights over them things. You know what I mean? You know, they're just getting the fight. We just need to preach as best I can, you know. But I'm going to defend the truth, ain't you? Well, I'm going to stand in the way. You know, and I hate that what's taking place with us and all this stuff. I hate that brethren can't get along. But I can't that all this starts causing offense and everything else. But brother, we got to stay by the truth. We got to defend the truth. Paul, Jeremiah said he was valiant for the truth. I'm not valiant for the Baptist or the Methodist. I'm valiant for that truth, brother. God entrusted us this book and this truth. He didn't entrust it as a man, as of a denomination. He entrusted me as a preacher of the gospel. And I will preach the truth and I will stand by it. Amen, amen. Well, stand by it, aren't you? Wherever you might go, amen. Well, amen, amen. Help. Jeremiah said, I'm a wayfaring man. I'm trying to find a lodging place in this unbearable world. He said, I'm trying to find a lodging place. He didn't say, I'm trying to find a resting place. I found a resting place a long time ago. I found a resting place. I was measured on how to rest in a day of trouble, too. Hey, the wisdom of man and his intellect and his mind, his own glory in it. Then the glory of his might. The wisdom of the man glories in his strength. Glories in his flesh. He glories in his ability as a physical person. You know, I don't want to take, that's what people all the time want. I've had preachers ask me, so won't you come over here and tell us some of your Vietnam experiences? You know, is that all the reason you want me, buddy? So you can talk about Vietnam? You know? Won't you come over here and give us some of your experiences as a ranger? And I said, I don't like to talk about it. And if I got to put that out there in order to attract people to the house of God, I'm in trouble. If I got to put some kind of political figure or a hero or some kind of veteran or a ball star in the pulpit to bring a crowd in, we're in trouble. What they need to come here is the man of God. There ought to be a man of God in that pulpit. That ought to be an honor to the man of God. Ought to be an honor to the God's man. I used to, as a boy, they walk in the house of God, we would respect and honor the man of God. They'd come walking men that were men of God. And they walk in, the kids would respect them. Kids nowadays, they'll respect the ball player or some Vietnam veteran and everything else instead of the man of God. They won't give respect to the man of God. He's been taken down in such a way, and what we're now, they don't even understand how to do it. Hey, the greatest person you'll ever meet, the greatest place you'll ever understand is the man of God. God, give us some men of God. A man of God that'll get in the pulpit. I'm not talking about mean man. I'm talking about God's man. I talk about a man that walks holy. I talk about a man that gets along with God. I talk about a man that reads that book. I talk about a man that walks out the door and he lives for the Lord. He ain't playing games. He ain't going to be entertained. He ain't out there going to the golf course. He ain't out there to take some kind of place that he can have a little relaxation or get away from the stress. If you want to get away from the stress, get on your face. Get in your prayer closet and get God to give you relief. Amen. If you want to get out of the stress, that's the way it used to be. Amen. That's the way it used to be. Praise God, the might. He says, we're going to have a youth conference, you know. I got a youth conference, but you can forget about the karate and breaking brick stuff. You just forget it. Ain't going to be that. What are we going to have? We're going to preach it. We're going to have men like Brother Bob come in there and talk about communist China. Teach these people, our young people, about the work, really, where the work's at. You know, I don't need to get right here. That's our problem, brother. It's our problem. The old time camp meetings, when we was raised up over there, we didn't have no entertainment. We'd pack them out. They'd run those aisles. They'd jump and shout. They'd run, and those preachers go out and serve God. They'd know that book. They'd have that Bible down in their heart.
that love the Lord, we'd pray. We'd be out in the woods praying before the service. We'd be out everywhere with Bob. And we'd come in there and the Holy Ghost would be it. You wouldn't have to drink a song up. You wouldn't have to coax them up. There's already, they come to the door ready to shout, ready to pray. There wasn't five or six. It was 20 or 30. I'm sitting all around there ready to honor God, ready to serve the Lord, ready to worship God, go to the mission field, do God's word, have a call of God on them. Amen. Have the call of God on him. You don't have it. Could we produce it in this day? Or not produce it? Can we let God produce it in our life? I've got to hurry. It's not by your might. Men are glorying in their might. Never seen such flesh. Glorying in their own strength. Glorying in being Mr. Big Boy. Mr. Muscle Man. When that iron curtain fell, when the wall fell over there, they went over there with all them teens, you know, back when the USSR broke down. And they took their karate teens over there, and they'd have karate expositions. And then all of them, you know, and have all these big conversions. Well, what happened to preaching? I'd say amen. I say amen. The deceit, if I got to get to it, by being deceived, they refuse to know him. Through their deceit, through them being led astray, through them falling an imposter, through them refusing, they're in their deceit. They are refusing. They will not know him. They will not know him. I want to follow on to know the Lord, don't you? I want to follow on to know the Lord. Their riches. The next thing, rich. Boy, ain't that the man. Boy, this ministry's got a lot of money. You know, their man's riches. Man's riches. Glory in his riches. Glory in his riches. Jesus said, or God, he says over there in Malachi, I believe it is, would you attend the altar for nothing? Would you attend the area of the altar for naught, it says? I call the preachers in my time. I don't give them nothing when they come to my conference. I ain't got no money. And I invite the big ones too, buddy. I got all the big boys, you know. I got Dr. Jones, Dr. Wales, all that. They don't get nothing from me. I ain't got nothing. I made Jeff Clemens give me money. He brought an offer. You know? Used to. I don't know why I'm here. Used to, when we went to Brother Raines' camp meeting, you know what we did at the tabernacle all year long? The young people did? They made up all year long the offering that they were going to give. And that would be a giving service. And it would be unbelievable. And those kids would give everything they had for school, business, and God. But they made up an offering during the week so they had something to give when they come. My, man. Yeah, I won't be there unless I get something. Mwah. I mean, I come up here to help you, brother. I didn't come up here to get anything. I come up here to help you. I come up here to give to you. To give. To give. If a man come to give, you've got to get in it, buddy. If he come to get out, that's just as bad for preachers. It's just as bad for everybody. I didn't come to get no meetings. I didn't come to get any money. I come to give myself unto the work. I come to give myself to the church. I come to give myself to the preacher. I come to give myself the riches and the money. And I think you're not get after money or meetings. They don't know that stuff ain't going to work. They know it ain't going to work. Riches. Glory in their minds, their intellect. They glory in their might, their great ability, and their physical ability. strong, you know, my hero experience, or how tough I am. That's bad, eh? I've got a grandson. He can squat 600 pounds. Hey, Brother Morse, he done the Tennessee walk twice. They wanted to play football. He got a letter of intent from Auburn. He's right now working, married, texts me all the time, wants to love God. He texted me the other day, brother. He said he's on fire. I was leaving one Thanksgiving. Nah, man, I've got I was leaving on Thanksgiving. He was laying there on the floor, you know, watching the football games. Well, you getting old. I watch him. He's watching the football game. We all, and you don't want to be around there when football's on. I mean, it gets bad. That coach is fixing to leave the country when that bad play happens. You say, Mama, that is a... You see that? Look at that! What is wrong with him anyway? You just don't want to be around. There is no spirituality around there when that football game's on. I won't let you know there is none whatsoever. That's like I told Rookie when he go, that's his name, Rookie. I said, now, Rookie, when you go out there and take one of them boys' heads off in that football, just say, I'm going to do it in Jesus' name. Give me a break. When I fix it, where are you? That's like you won't kill somebody in war and say, you won't get saved before I shoot you. You're messing somebody's mind up, but you're messing their mind up. He laying there, brother, and I come by and I said, thought I'd pull a little stunt on him, he jumped up and said, well, I'll see you, Pop, I had this crazy feeling, Brother Steve. What a feeling, just a notion. I said, hey, man, Rick, I jerked him, man, I let him down. I was on top of him, I had him down, man, I had him down. Brother Morse, I just started rising up. I was on his back now, and all of a sudden he just rises up. Now I was on his back now. Riding up, and I turned around, and he said, oh, Pop, I love you, Pop. I said, praise God, amen. I love you, Pop. I said, thank God, son. I'm glad you do right now, you know. Amen. Amen. But if he get a yes, sir, he'll get whooped out there fast, buddy. Hey, it's not by your might. It's not by your riches. I got to get into where I'm at. It's none of these. But let a man glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me. So I'm going to hurt. In Hosea 6:1, the first thing he said to them, come and let us return unto the Lord. The first thing that people need to do is repent. Return unto the Lord. Return unto the Lord. Before you're ever going to follow Him, you're going to have to repent. You're going to have to return to the Lord. Return unto the Lord. This country, the church needs revival. The church, our country needs to repent. It needs to repent. What it needs to return back to where it once used to be. But the thing about a believer, he needs to repent. He needs to return back to where he began. He needs to repent of his sin and return back to it. Return unto the Lord. And I'm going to hurry right on through it. First thing you need to do is repent. We need to repent, brother. We need to repent. And where we're going, the way we are, what we're doing, we need to repent and turn from the way we're going. Secondly, not only did he say return and repent, secondly, he said that you would raise us up, revive us. If you return to the Lord, let me say this here right there. He said, he will let us return unto the Lord, for he hath torn us. And he will heal us. Is God not afflicting us? Is he not doing that? But what did he say he would do? If we return, he that has torn us, what he said he'll do? He'll heal us. He'll heal us. And he said those that are other, he said he'd bind us up. Our God is not up there to make your life bad. He's not up there to make everything wrong. I mean, he's not up there to kill you or to take you out of life. He's up there, I'll go through the text and show you, he's up there to help you. He's up there and he loves you. He's up there and He wants to turn you. He wants to heal you. Every person in here, and you're going away, and God's afflicted you. God's afflicted you. And I say this in respect and in the right kind of manner. When I talk to my daughter that's got cancer, I just got through talking to her all that, and I went over with her again. She's got it, her life back through there. Her husband left her, her home broken up, and everything. And she ain't out and seeing a heart or anything else. But the reason they got that way is when the first church they were with was my son-in-law, and he had a good church, and it went down to nothing. He shut it down, so they got discouraged. They went up to another church and were putting their lives in it. And then the pastor had 30 people to walk out on him. He's a good preacher, and they got discouraged, and they got out and started to quit. Didn't go to church. I told them, you get out of church, you're going to mess up. You get out of church, you're going to mess up. It wasn't long. They couldn't get together, couldn't get along. You know, and she said, I'm not happy and all that thing. He left her and went out, you know, and they got in place. And we got to the place that she's at right now and said, when she got down to the very point she's going to die, she wasn't going to live another day. And I was in there sitting to her, and I said, Shannon, I didn't say anything right like what I'm saying right now. I said, Shannon, I said, God, she said, Dad, I deserve to die. Son, brother, boy, when your daughter says that and she's next to death, I said, oh, no, the Lord loves you. The Lord loves you. Man, I found out His love in that time. Still do. Now, talking to her a while ago, and he's come back to the house and being with her now. You know, they got a divorce, but he's back home. He's not in the house because he ain't going to be. Got a divorce. They'll get it right there, and then he'd go back. The Lord had to tear you, but guess what? He said He would heal. Does He got to afflict us? Does He got to do that to us? In other words, if we don't want to obey Him, we don't want to go ahead. He said, return unto me. Return unto me, and I will heal thee. Return unto me. And if we'll return, if my children, your children, every one of us, as God has afflicted us, and He afflicts us where we'll go astray. He afflicts us in that manner. And God will chasten His children, will He not? It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. And you're going to find that out. You can't know that. And do you sit there and just jump all over her? She already knows. She knows. What do? You talk gently to her. You let speak with her real gently. She said, Dad, I deserve to die. I said, I'm going to talk to God about that. Amen. You know? And she wants to live. She wants to live. That's a desire. I understand now the other standing area of the power of your dad. Your dad's not in sin. Your dad ain't not that. So the will of God for that area, you know? Whatever God wants in that area right there. But those that are under chastening, those that are in James 5, those that have sin committed, He said it will be forgiven. Those that are in a place there, context of James 5 is sin. Context is sin. The prayer of faith shall save the sin. And He shall raise them up. If there be any sin, it'll be forgiven. That's not the area with your dad. Your dad is not in sin. That's the area of suffering. Whatever the will of God is, whatever God wants, whatever the Lord. But to God, to a person and a child of God that's under chastening, that's in a place that God's working on them, He don't want you to die. What He wants you to do? Repent! That's what He wants you to do. He wants you to repent and turn from your sin. Put your life in order. Get back to God. He'll heal you. He'll touch you. He'll raise you up. He don't want to tell you. He don't want to kill you. He wants to give you life. Amen. He don't want you to die. You're the one that's causing it. You're rebelling against Him, you know. Return. Then what He does, He'll raise you up. And I'm not done. He'll raise you up. He said He'll raise them up. Then, and you shall live. Look at it. And you shall live in His sight. That's a good way to live, ain't it? Living in the sight of God. When you come consciously aware, old Clarence Stanfield, you remember old Clarence Stanfield? I'm consciously aware of your presence, God. I'm consciously, he says that every time before he preaches. Consciously aware. You know and you're aware of your life in conscious awareness of God, you won't be flipping that television on. You won't be sitting in the in the motel room watching the ungodly thing and then come to the pulpit. You won't be sitting there. You won't come to the pulpit. There'll be no power. There'll be no power. You've done take your conscience and made it in a way God can't use you. God can't use you, brother. You got that mind full of the devil. You got it full of trash. You got all the images of that thing. And you've not been with God. And you've not shut that stuff out. You've not got with the Lord. You've not got in the Bible. You've not sat alone with Him and find His place there. That's what's going on, friend. That's why there's no power. We got to play games. We got to perform. We got to do everything. There's no power about it. Return. He wants to heal you. He'll raise you up that you might be in His sight. My dad said he was walking through the cow pasture one time. He said, Lord, look on me. Look on me. He said, about that time he felt such presence that he just fell on the ground. He said, God, don't look at me. Don't look at me. Was in camp meeting up there and Brother Wells preaching on the prayer of Jesus Christ in John 17. He was preaching about Jesus praying, and he would say, that was God. That was God praying. And you know how Brother Wells is. He'd get the pacing back and forth. And he'd say, help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. He said, don't you understand? God's praying. Jesus was God and He was praying. Help me, Lord. Don't you understand? God was praying. God was praying. Help me, Lord. He's getting there. Help me, Lord. Don't you understand? God's praying. But that time, Brother Patton, no. God said, that was me praying for you. That was me, and I ran to the altar. Not in the middle of preaching. And I laid down. And I didn't say nothing. Just trembled. You ever got those heave holes? That's all I could do. I didn't say nothing. I got to trembling. That's the only time I can remember that ever happened in that way. I just got to tremble. Have you ever trembled before the Lord? Have you ever got in a place that you just tremble before God and just sit there and the Lord will work in such a way, trembling you? Hey, you get returned. You repent. You return. He'll raise you up. He didn't afflict you to turn his way. He'll raise you up and then you'll walk in His sight. You'll walk conscious of God. You'll walk revealing God. You'll walk with the Lord consciously aware in your soul. You'll be there. You'll know He's there. You want to know the Lord. You want to know the Lord and know His presence. You're going to have to get that conscience in the right manner. You're going to get that conscience and don't let it be seared. Don't let it be full of trash. Keep that stuff out of your head. Keep that stuff out of your eyes. Amen. Return, revive us, and then after you return, after He raises you up in His sight, He'll reveal to you. What will He reveal? Himself. He'll reveal Himself to you. You'll follow on to know the Lord. You follow on to know the Lord. Your life progresses and goes before Him. You get to know Him as you go through life. You follow on to know Him. I knew Him to had He followed, but now I've fallen to know Him. I follow Him to know Him. Not that I have obtained, Paul said, but I apprehend. Apprehend, not have I apprehend, but I obtained. What He did, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling. I keep a pressing on. I keep a going on with Him. What am I doing? I'm a following Him. I'm a following on that I might know Him. That I might know Him. Down through life as I follow Him, I shall know Him. I'll find out who He is. I want to say to you tonight, this morning, this evening, I have found the places with God in my life, in my journey, as I followed on to know Him. All the things that might happen to you. What's the thing that you'll come to know Him, buddy? You'll come to know Him, know who He is, and know what He can do. You'll know His power. You'll know His presence. You'll know His possessions. You'll know what God can do. You'll know that you don't have you might not have nobody else, but you got Him. You might not have anything, but you got Him. You can ride the road. You can go into place. You can be all alone, they say, but you got Him. He's right there with you. You're following on to know Him. To know Him. Amen. Follow on to know the Lord. You're going to turn first to repent. Why? He's afflicted you and He'll raise you up. He'll raise you up. Then He'll reveal Himself to you. He'll reveal Himself to you. But that bunch in Jeremiah, and I'm done. That bunch, they refused. They didn't reject. They refused to know Him through deceit. Are you deceived by this charismatic movement? Are you deceived by all this other stuff that's leading people astray? Have you been led astray? That word means led astray. This bunch is leading millions and thousands. Aren't the Osteens and all this other ones deceiving these people? Is this not a deception? And you try to tell them about the way of God and the work of God and how God works and what to God to know the Lord. You try to tell them how to know the Lord. This is the way, walk ye therein. A lot of you kids, you might think about old time religion, way of walking the old paths, and this crowd is packing it out down here. Got everybody in the world going. They got all the gyms. They got every entertainment. They got everything in the world that they'll get the boys and girls in. And they say, what do you got up there? We got the Lord and the Bible. And we got worship and we love God. We got Him up there at our church. What you got going up there? We got Jesus going. Amen. You want Him? You want Him? Or you want to be entertained and then take a little mission trip and you don't care one thing about a soul. You just want to do a little religious stuff. And then go out there and have your little car washes. Half naked. Going out there and have a little car wash to get work money for missions. To get money for missions. You know what you ought to do with money for missions? It ought to come through the tithes and offering. Amen. It ought to be distributed through the church and to send them out through the missions of the church. It ought to be a project of the church to do that work. We don't need the money from the world. You don't need to have it. That old timer out here, take God a heart. I come down through there and there's a Baptist church up there. They were out there washing cars and going on, you know, half naked and going on. And he was down there, he was half asleep. And I went in there talking to his wife. And I knew he was listening. I said, Sister May, I said, next week, I said, what you know what's coming up there having a car wash? The Gallagher Road is going to have a car wash out front of that old time road up out here. Not at Gallagher, you're not going to. I was the pastor, you know what? I'm the pastor, as Brother Harley. He said, not at Gallagher, you're not. And I just looked at him and said, amen, old man of God. I said, amen. I just probed him a little bit, you know. It just seemed like he had to probe him a little bit. And he said, oh, no, you're not. Oh, no. Hey, I'm done right now, but let me get this one thing across to you right now. They refused to know the Lord by deception. They're deceived. They're being led astray. You never know this charismatic movement, this emotional crowd. It's very emotional. And I'm very emotional. I've been real quiet, but I preach now, so you got to get out of the way. I start worshiping now, praise God. I got my message out. I got her done. It's time for me to shout. I think I'll just clean this spot out, Brother Lockhart, and just show them how much I can shout. I can act real crazy, buddy. Can I, Brother Steve? I can get real crazy. You might not find me sometime. Preachers talk about shouting and running. They won't do it themselves. That just gets me. I said, what's wrong with you, doctor? You preach it. Why don't you do it? Yeah, I mean, they don't like it. I said, yeah, I'm glad you can preach it so good. Do it. I taught a module down there with a Brother Webb. I teach modules all the time. I can teach it once in a while. So, and I teach it on prayer. He wanted me to teach on prayer. Got done with prayer, and, you know, they're listening. The classes were filling up. He had more in the class than there was in church. And so that last night, on that night of preaching on teaching on prayer, I said, I want you to remember two words. That's all I want you to remember. I want you to remember two words. If you don't remember anything else, because you know you had the outline and all that. And I said, look at me. I said, you hear me, young preachers? I said, this is the two words I want you to remember. Do it! They looked at me. I said, do it. That Friday, I was back home the next week. Friday comes, hey, Brother Harvey, we have an all-night prayer meeting down here. I said, amen, boys. Get at it, buddy, get at it. Hey, they refused to know the Lord through deceit. You're going to follow this crowd, or are you going to stay with the old way? You're going to let this crowd pull you away? I'm going to walk in the old path. I'm going to stay in the right way. I'm going to worship like we ought to. I'm going to preach that book. I'm going to stay with the right book. I'm going to stay with the local church. I'm going to stay with missions. I'm going to stay with the fundamentals of the faith. I'm going to stay with that. Don't let this crowd pull you away and say they know the Lord when they're not walking the right way. When you know they're not doing right. When they're not doing it right, they refuse to know the Lord by deception. That's it. Amen. To follow on to know the Lord. Follow on to know Him.